Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 438, Non-Binary Pals. I'm Saverin.
And I'm Shiva.
And
Buzz has got the crud.
Buzz has caught the crud. So you heard a couple days ago, when this is released, that Fuzz was at Method Fermi, and he recorded that episode with Foxamore and Pepper Coyote, and they had a lot of good conversations and a lot of Star Trek talk. Like, holy crap, so much Star Trek talk. Well, this week we're not going to talk so much about Star Trek, but we will be talking about some plenty of other topics. It has been 2 weeks since we last recorded, sort of, and actually a lot has happened. Well, obviously, everything is happening so much. We have NB discourse relating to Minecraft bees and gamers who are NBs and people on Twitter who are complaining about NBs and should know better than to do so, as well as other fun stuff, including the inclusion of some striped pieces of cloth in a video game, making the gamers very upset.
Because
reasons.
They're always mad.
So, yes, to open it up this week, we'll start out with some fun topic. Sonic Fox, the furry hero video game player, who's big and brash and big ol' gay, also came out as NB, non-binary, this week. And everyone's like, all right, cool. He's young. He's one of the best fighting game players basically ever. Out there going to tournaments. He was in Ireland this last weekend doing tournaments. And he's like, I've come to this conclusion about myself, so I'm just gonna let you know this is where I fall. And Aaron's like, cool. I mean, generally people are very supportive. And of course, you know, anybody being shitty about it get blocked, so fuck them. That's cool that not only do we get to stand the black gay furry, we get the black gay non-binary furry who's also like the face of his esports team and going all over the damn planet and being this like extremely out and proud, I wouldn't say role model, but he's out there being a very good example for folks. And I thought that was really neat.
It is. I mean, it's nice to have just another very visible person using that designation.
And in a positive way, because like non-binary identities are not a new thing. And being gender fluid, like me, is a non-binary identity. And yes, that does fall under the broader trans umbrella, but it's like, you know, it's like you have like little nesting dolls of meaning, right? And this is where I get to say, hey, mom, remember when you asked me a little bit ago, like, so are you trans? I was wrong. So sort of technically, yes. Direct messaging to my mom on the podcast. That's how we roll.
Hi, mom.
But it doesn't much matter because this is just like slapping a label to how you feel. And knowing how you can describe yourself is important. Like, where do you fall? You don't have to fit in the two boxes. And we've said this a lot.
Well, there seems to be two camps. There's like label, I hate labels. And then there's people who embrace labels because they're descriptors. It's when I think you apply a label and you stick to it no matter what, and you kind of wrap your self-identity up into it, and either A, you change, or B, you find a better label for what you are.
Yeah.
Or somebody just comes up with a new one because they happen to describe it. It's like a label is kind of like a mass umbrella roughly that encapsulates a concept. And you say non-binary, people who are read up and they know, oh, okay.
Yeah. You know. And you can just be like gender nonconforming, or you can say non-binary or NB, or it is one of those things that you do sometimes have to be selective with how you choose your language, because sometimes people just don't know what the heck that means. So I jokingly put on Mastodon, I was like, me, I'm gay. Also me, you know, technically, actually, I am pansexual, fall under this, gender fluid, that also means this. But like when asked, it's just like, yo, I'm gay. Because it's very simple. If someone just asks you something like that, you can be like, yo, I'm just gay. Versus
and that's kind of like bi for me. It's like, but you're more, you get start drilling down into it. Well, there's this flavor. But if you say you're bi, you pretty much cover you like both.
Yeah, it's the top level.
Yeah.
Like, once you start digging down into the finer layers of meaning and like you get really granular, but to the layman, the average John Q. public person who you bother to tell these things to, if you get just like, yeah, top level, and it's like, I am in a relationship with a dude, a very long-term one, and that's an easy understand. So that's cool. And on the flip side, though, is when people are like strictly on the binary. And this is really weird too when it also comes from other trans folks, right? Because trans people should know that people don't always fit in a particular box, and what worked for them is not necessarily gonna work for someone else. If you have a platform and you go around making declarations that are invalidating towards non-binary identities, and then when people go, yo, that's not great, and then you proceed to double and triple down, and then when you do finally table flip, delete 3 days worth of tweets, and then go protected and or disable your account, and the worst people possible jump to your defense, you have fucked up.
Sometimes it's just admitting that you're wrong. Yeah, okay. So we've had some discussions. I've had my brain expanded. You know, maybe I should just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and the fine art of knowing when to shut the fuck up is always lost on the internet, and this applies to everybody. But the unfortunate thing is that the person I'm talking about is ContraPoints, the YouTuber who does make very good videos. She makes some very educational and entertaining videos, even though I don't necessarily always agree with her conclusions, or her videos don't necessarily have a conclusion. Like her video on quote-unquote trans trenders, like, it didn't have like a good resolution one way or the other. It's designed to be like, oh, you must draw your own conclusions, but I was sort of like, you just seem like you were just shitting on this one character the entire time, Baltimore, Maryland. But she's fully transitioned, she's on HRT, she's had facial feminization surgery, and her complaint was people defaulting to they them in new social settings. And she was like, well, you could look at me and assume, you know, you should use she her pronouns for her. I'm like, okay, yes, that is if somebody knows you, but it has been sort of become the default in queer spaces.
But by that same, before transition, if you had used the prior pronoun and you assumed, that would have been hurtful.
Yeah.
So now it's safe to assume, but before it was not safe to assume because you weren't getting the pronouns that you wanted, versus now it's safe to assume because you present as your preferred one.
Yeah, and so that really raised a lot of people's eyebrows. And it's like, well, yes, okay, you, as someone who passes and someone who is very far along the track because you had the money to do so, it should be easy for you to pass and assume she, her. But in most queer spaces, most people are gonna default to neutral they, them before they know. If you can see someone and say, okay, they look very trans to me, I won't assume, but I'm gonna probably go with she, her for them, or he, him for them. But until you know, it's generally nicer and less potentially offensive if you default to neutral. And unfortunately, she just kept doubling down on this. Like, no, I you know, I pass. I should, you know, people should assume that for me. But shitty cishets have the one joke, oh, did you assume my gender? Well, that's what you generally don't want to do. You know, you don't want to make that assumption when you're in a queer space because you might fuck up and you don't want to step in it. Nobody wants to embarrass anybody else. You don't go into situations like this to piss people off or cause offense if you're a good person. And so it was just something like I saw the discourse occurring and I'm just like, man, obviously I don't have to prove myself to anybody really. So it's like I'm online. I have my, you know, pronouns in creme anglaise, you know, and in my bio. But, you know, in real life, like if I'm at a FurCon, they have the pronoun badges now. Those are great. And some of them have even like gotten the advanced versions where it's like he, they, or it's like the combo ones where you can use neutral or masculine or neutral and feminine. And those are great. Plus, you know, FurCons also have badges with our fursonas on them. And, you know, the average leftist space does not have your fursona. You have to ask for that. You know, you go to a DSA meeting and you really got to dig deep to get the fursonas out of people. So the unfortunate thing when I mentioned the worst people on the internet, you have like Ian Miles Chong and Christina Hoff Sommers, these right-wing grifters who they do absolutely nothing in favor of gays in any stripe, but they're like, oh, how dare they? She have cancel cultured her off the internet. It's like, no, she was just a dumbass and tripled down. And instead of saying, yeah, I was a dumbass, she deleted her Twitter for a little bit. And she'll be back, and her YouTube will still be there. And she's still making a lot of money off of Patreon, and will get lots of butt pats when she does come back. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, you really have to look at the people that are jumping to your defense when you flounce off the internet. And if you start getting these people, quote-unquote, defending you, you fucked up.
I swear, they just like to shit the pot, and whatever they can say that's contrary.
Oh, yeah.
They will.
And that kind of trails into the next thing, because on the previous episode, we were sick 2 weeks ago, right, Shiva?
No, that was the last musical.
Okay, last musical. That was when he first started talking about Alakalakwa, and he'd been basically added an abuser, said, hey, this person was shitty to me, and the internet immediately picked sides, because it, of course it does. And everyone's like, oh, how dare you make these accusations? How could you? This is all internet hearsay and all this other shit. And obviously not. Scott Benson wrote a very lengthy Medium article here in last couple days talking about his history with Alec, and many other people corroborated this dude's behavior prior to the culminating incident. Mm-hmm. And it's bizarre because you talk about these people jumping in and defending and stirring the pot. And like you said, like the very same people that were calling Night in the Woods SJW propaganda, mm-hmm. or were laughing at him for quote unquote being another canceled male feminist, when I don't think he ever claimed that title, but then immediately started screaming at his accuser after he unfortunately killed himself, saying that she murdered him and how dare this evil woman cause this great man, who they were calling a SJW cuck 3 days ago,
yeah,
to kill himself. And it's, again, like these people just jumping in to stir the pot.
Like if there's anything contrary to whatever is being said, that they will jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah. It is really unfortunate because I was listening to an episode of Waypoint Radio that was recorded on the Friday when all this was occurring initially with Alakalakwa, Jeremy Soule, and a couple other people. And, you know, Patrick Kleppett pointed out the story around this could probably radically change by the time we reconvene on Tuesday because it was a holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it certainly had. It's disappointing.
Thank you, Bo.
Hi, Bo. Are you sharing? Do you want me to throw it? Bo just came in and dropped his rawhide at my foot. He's like, play with me, pay attention.
Because we don't have Fuzz, so he's not banished.
Yeah, because Fuzz is not here, he is not banished to the Nether Realm. Oh, nope. Are you sharing? Okay.
We're not going to throw that.
We're not going to throw it. It would rattle.
Yeah, get one of your soft toys. We could throw one of the soft toys without clash, clunk, clunk, clunk.
He brought this, like, 8-inch long rawhide roll.
Brand new. He just got it.
He's like, throw it for me.
It's like, no. One, we don't throw anything hard in the house. Balls, sticks. We only like lob soft toys. But we're not going to throw the rawhide for you now, dog.
See, Adam wants me to always throw his little rawhides, but they're like 5-inch long and the size of like Sharpies.
Yeah, that's like a little different.
They're a little bit different.
This is an 8-inch stick.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So thank you for coming and changing the topic a little bit, you big handsome doof. Anyways, so it's really disappointing that this guy also basically chose to end his story. Like, there's no coming back from this. He is always going to be known as this dude that did this thing, and when he finally potentially faced some consequences for it, he just ended it. He had a long history of mental issues. He had a long history of stuff like this. And, like, Scott Benson's post talking about his history with him much further expanded the story beyond shit on Twitter. And that's the thing, right? Anytime that someone has the wherewithal to name an abuser, inevitably, internet fuckheads are going to just be like, show me the proof. Show me the evidence. How dare you? You're a lying whore. Fuck
and no
you.
Matter what evidence you show, it's never enough.
Yeah. You faked it. You could have made these things up. And this happens pretty much anytime a woman makes an accusation.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened with my sister. She had stuff like this happen. You know, she had an abusive ex who did some bad shit to her. And I'm very glad that she is now married and living in another country, and her husband treats her very well. And I hope to eventually get to make it out there, hopefully before we all die in a nuclear fireball or whatever. and see her up in Canada. But, you know, she had an ex, and then, like, the moment that she was like, yo, this dude did some bad shit to me, like, immediately people were calling her a liar, asking what she did to deserve it, all this other bullshit. And it was just nuts. It made me so angry that these people would just... And
turn
this
on
is,
her.
Like, they were trying to claim that she bruised her legs herself when, no, she got whacked with a car. And, like, I'm getting mad. But...
I wonder why.
It happens so fucking often that, like, anybody that makes an accusation, immediately there are these internet randos that claim that they're just making it up for attention, that they want to do it to get famous or whatever. And it's such fucking bullshit. Never fucking do this, guys. Do not. If someone has put themselves together enough to say, this person was an abuser to me, and then multiple other people corroborate them, like, it's not just that one person said Alakalakwa was an abusive piece of shit to me. This was a bunch of other people that corroborated this. Men and women alike who said, no, this guy was kind of a shit. And this happened years ago, and it happened in the most recent bit. Like, you read Scott Benson's thing, I'm going to put it in the show notes. And it's like, Scott Benson, basically his therapist, like, you have PTSD from dealing with this guy for so long. Like, you're blaming yourself for his moods and his behavior, and that's not right. You shouldn't do that. So, like, this ending how it did is just a major bummer for him, too, because, like, there's no resolution.
There's no closure.
It's just, it's an open book, and there's no ending.
And the thing is, okay, so you, allegation, if you soft, you know, declare it, and it's like, and you don't name names, like, at least not out in public, you get people who are curious. It's like, well, why don't you have the balls to court of public opinion this guy, girl, whatever? So you name a name, and oh, you're dragging this person through the mud without providing any proof.
Oh god.
I mean, well, why don't you say anything? Why did you just sit in silence? Well, because the first two got me bagged on. So what do you do?
The biggest thing is, like, why didn't you go to the cops? Why didn't you go to the fucking cops? My sister went to the fucking cops, and they didn't do shit.
No, they didn't.
They're not going to do shit if it's not, like, immediate in the past with, like, a boatload of proof. You know, this whole idea that we have a justice system that works for abuse victims just needs to get out of people's heads. Like, the fact that people don't go to the cops because this person was shitty and treated me like garbage, because that's not, like, a legally actionable thing. That's not like, oh, well, you've been accused of being a shitty boyfriend. You know, that you've been emotionally abusive to somebody, and therefore that is a crime. Because it's not a crime in our country. And it really shouldn't be. It's just you're being a shitty person. And when you finally get called to the carpet and face some social consequences, not legal consequences, not financial consequences necessarily, just social consequences, and you choose to do what he did... Like, come on. And that goes on to, like, the stuff with Vic Lasagna et al. You know, like, him being a long-form creeper and shithead. Well, why didn't you go to the cops? What, because he was a shitty person?
It's not a cop level...
It's not like this person's an angel until they go to jail. That's not how this works. You can just be a shitty person without the legal side of the government being involved.
Yeah, it's up to basically communities to self-correct on what that behavior is acceptable and what's not. It's not a legal one.
You know,
it's kind of everybody teaches, hey, that shit's not acceptable. Don't do that. And there's no laws against it. There's only, like, public mores.
Social consequences. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, oh, that dude's a jerk. I'm not going to invite him out to my thing. Or this person is a bad guest. I'm not inviting him to my con. Or this person got caught in a hotel room with two, you know, young women who were guests at the con. This, that, and the other. This illusion that A, the cops give a shit. And B, that there's anything legally actionable in someone being a creeper. Mm-hmm. Like this fetishization of, well, was there a trial? Show me proof. You know, there's not going to be a trial. It's merely public opinion. And if someone has a long-ass history of being shitty and leaving multiple other people that he did shit to, or they did shit to, or she did shit to, I mean, it's the whisper net. It's like, you don't invite certain guests because they're assholes, or you don't invite some dude to the fur meet because he was being a creeper to someone else. Like, that's just how it is. And when it comes to, like, abusive people, they hurt people. And more often than not, people are going to internalize that. That, oh, it's their fault. That's why it's my fault they're treating me like shit. And they don't say anything.
Or they're just non-confrontational personality where, you know, they're just not someone who's going to stand up and go, hey, knock it off. At least not until they get fed up.
And this happens for long periods of time where the person that's being shitty leaves a trail of people that they've hurt in their wake. And only once enough people in the whisper net go, oh man, this guy, he was a real piece of shit. And it's like, wait, that guy was a piece of shit to you too? Well, he was a real piece of shit to me. Really? Because he was a real piece of shit to insert third party here. And they start talking and they find out, oh, this person has been a shit in a string of incidences. And suddenly it feels like, oh, it's all coming out of the blue. When finally just enough started people that they've hurt started talking and found each other. And then it crashes down on them like a wave because finally someone had the wherewithal to be like, yo, this person is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So the big fucking point to all this nonsense that I'm getting mad about is that when someone finally does come out and say that someone's an abuser, that someone's a piece of shit, and multiple other people corroborate that, try to believe them. Like, don't jump to their defense. You, as John Q. Rando internet person, shut the fuck up. Your opinion's not needed. You know, if someone is putting themselves out there and opening themselves up to enormous amounts of abuse, thanks to the internet.
Because getting doxxed, then getting swatted, you know, that shit happens. So putting yourself out there to, like, attack someone.
And yeah, like, everybody involved, like, Alex's sister, Scott Benson, Zoe Quinn, all the people that basically had said, yeah, this person was a shit, they had to, like, protect their Twitter and just log off for a bit because this huge wave of people just began screaming obscenities at them. Same with the people that were talking about Jeremy Soule and other such individuals who are being named for bad behavior because immediately the internet jumps to this person's defense and just inundates the accusers with just garbage. This, you know, as Fuzz said on the last episode we recorded together, because anybody remember the name of Bill Cosby's accusers? You know, they're not doing this to quote-unquote get famous. They're doing it because, you know, in the case of Bill Cosby, he drugged them and did all sorts of bad shit. And it wasn't because, oh, I've got to wait, you know, until he's a doddering old man. No, it's just finally enough people said, hey, this person's a shit, that it came to a head. So, that's half an hour down, Shiva. How about we shift to another topic?
Something a little, well, I don't know. Do we have anything?
Well, we do have something fun. Gears of War 5 is coming out. It is out today. So is the Super NES emulator for the Switch, the official Nintendo one that comes with like 20 games to start with. Has good shit like Super Mario World, Legend of Zelda, F-Zero, all sorts of fun stuff like that, as well as a Japanese ROM of Puyo Puyo. So you have to muddle your way through the limited menu modes, but you know, you can figure it out. It's Puyo Puyo. It's fun. Match 4 that touch together. It's a good little game. That's out today, but also Gears of War 5 has added a bunch of pride flags to
it. Where do you use those in game?
You put them either there as like your character's dog tag, or maybe it's like on your profile. I have honestly no idea.
I haven't played Gears, so.
Well, this is Gears 5, so it's something. It's some personal identifier that you can craft in the game, and they actually managed to include, I think 18 of the different pride flags in the game.
I don't even know all of these.
Like, there's trans, they have both the standard gay pride, but also the Philadelphia gay pride that has the black and brown stripes. They also have lesbian, bi, gray, like, gender fluid, arrow, you know, like, they have, like, a bunch, like, there's some of these that I'm just like, I'm not sure what these are. There's the lesbian pride flag, and it goes up to, yeah, 19 different pride flags in Gears of War 5. I mean, and it's just this minor little thing that is neat, and it's cool that they chose to include it.
Mm-hmm.
The gamers are of course upset, but of course they will be. They're like, where's the straight pride flag? And I'm like, you can have that with the Sea of Thieves flag or the robotic banner. You can have that one. Now shut the fuck up. It's neat, and yeah, it might be a little pandering, but also who cares? You can put a pride flag that reflects you on your character in Gears 5. And then, you know, chainsaw dude in half with your gun chainsaw. Hi, Bo.
What?
He's resting his chin on the sofa just like, pay attention to me. Come on. Come on, Bo.
Hup.
But that was fun in the... That's a neat little bit of inclusion. The other thing I don't think we talked about was Cyberpunk 2077. They've basically done away with, like, all right, look, we're going away with the binary male and female on the character builder. You now have sliders. And everyone's like,
what?
Cool. Well, I mean, certain games have had that for a while. Did you ever play the Saints Row series of games?
No, Siam has some, but I've seen it. But I haven't played it myself.
It started out as like a knockoff GTA that then became a comedic GTA style game.
Mm-hmm. I remember the giant...
The purple floppy dick.
Bat, yeah.
Which was a really good melee weapon. Well, they had a body slider starting in 2. And so you could make yourself be a skinny, skeletal lady with a big afro that had a deep British voice. Or, you know, you could mix and match. There was no restrictions on hairstyle, body shape, or anything like that. And so in 3, there was a really fun bit where you had the... It was just a voice called Zombie, where your character was just like... the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other characters in the game responded as if they completely understood you. Like, you had voiced lines, but in zombie mode, you couldn't understand what you were saying, but everyone else could. Which was just a fun option. And you could futz around with that anytime. So that's what they're doing in Cyberpunk 2077, is allowing you a lot more freeform character customization. Which is cool.
And of course the gamers are mad.
Of course they are.
Because, but, you know, no one's making them use these options, but, you know... God help it, they're there.
That they are options, yeah. It's cool to allow people to experiment with their presentation in video games because it's a single-player game. It doesn't matter what someone else makes their character look like, you know? I thought it was completely hilarious to make a skeletal grandma with the meth shakes and a big afro with a deep British voice in Saints Row 2, which that's why I made up that particular example, because it was just... To me, at the time, the most hilarious thing, but this was also in, like, 2008. Hi, Bo. He's like, you're sitting here, and you're talking into the microphone, so I'm going to sit in between you and demand pets. So we are doing so. So that was good news. That is good stuff. CD Projekt Red still has lots of question marks in the air about how, like, they're going to treat stuff in the game. But, like, goddammit, I want it to be good. I would like it to be a good game. And I would like for it to be a well-written cyberpunk story with, you know, multiple endings and all that fun shit, you know? Because it seems really neat. And I just want it to be not shitty when it comes to certain things. So, I hear is hoping. And I think the whole, doing...
I got no idea if the mic picked that up, but...
No, it did not. You know, I don't know if it's going to be a good game, but I hope it is. And it's interesting because they get away from using the whole, we're like worrying about your character's pronouns or anything, because the character's name is V,
mm-hmm.
and they just refer to you as V, or hacker, or whatever. They don't say...
Kind of like WoW's champion!
Yes, exactly.
Zero!
Or in Final Fantasy, just you're the warrior of light. Like, certain characters refer to you as, like, mistress or master or sir. But, like, the generic... Uh-oh.
Oh, you haven't played with that for months. Now during the podcast.
Yep. He has the squeaky pig. They'll just refer to you as the warrior of light. Anytime there's a voiced line, it's like, the warrior of light. Or the hero. From that big prancing dickhead Emmett Selk.
Mm-hmm.
Starts talking, it's like the warrior of light and hero and all this other stuff. That's fun, that's cool. Video games are occasionally okay.
Gamers
not so much. So, did you ever get Loot Crate, Shiva?
Yes.
Okay. So apparently Loot Crate has filed for bankruptcy and has laid off a bunch of their workers, but promises to ship their remaining boxes.
How they're going to do that without workers, I don't know.
Yeah, well, they laid off most of them, but they're on a skeleton crew, but even then... That's a lot of work being shoved onto a much smaller crew. So, that's interesting. I'm sure most of you people know what Loot Crate is, but Loot Crate is, /was, a...
Subscription
box where they would just send you a random collection of crap every month. It was basically like, this stuff would be shelf filler at Hot Topic. And I got it for a little while. I got gifted it for a little while. And ultimately, as somebody who's not super into the pop culture stuff that they would put in there, and sometimes like the crossover shirts I thought were really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it was just a bunch of junk for me. I eventually loaded up all the crap I didn't want into a box, took it to one of my Sunday meets, said, you guys just kind of paw through this and take what you want. And then I just donated the rest to MetroCrest because I was just like, you know what? You can figure something out for it or not. I don't care. It's not my problem anymore. So yeah, inevitably they have closed down. I mean, subscription boxes are always a real crapshoot.
Sometimes they're really good. Sometimes they're not.
You know, they're like $20 a month or whatever, and you would get like a shirt and some other bullshit, but it was always such a random assortment. It's like, oh, hey, you got yourself some something from The Walking Dead or something from Aliens or...
I subscribed for the Deadpool box and then got a couple more months of stuff.
Yeah.
And inevitably, I was like, okay, I've had a couple months where this didn't do it for me, so I canceled it. I subscribed like two rounds of it each time. I lasted a couple months and then disabled it. Like, we're currently subscribed to Japan Crate, but we have, I don't know, it's like umai, so it's noodles.
Uh-huh.
So once a month we get a box of ramen in the mail from Japan, which is a lot better than most of the stuff you can get here unless you go to like an Asian grocery.
Uh-huh.
Just random stuff because Siam really likes ramen.
And that's cool.
And so he'll cook up one. We'll all try it. And so far, they've all been really delicious. And no regrets because, man, we're slowly going through them.
Come on up.
He wants the rawhide. And I'm not going to throw the loud clattering rawhide.
He's standing here at the couch. He's resting his chin on the seat of the couch.
Looking very sad and pathetic.
But he's tall enough that he's like leaning his head down to rest his chin on the couch.
He's mastered the look of pathetic.
He looks so sad, and now he's going to flop and stare because we're not going to throw his rod.
What's up with his actual dog bed? There's the very small cat nested right in the middle of it.
Oh, well, it's lost to him now.
Yes. The smallest cat in the household is nested in the middle of his giant dog bed, like she does.
And he knows better than to mess with it.
He never bothers the cat, so.
Oh, no, they get along. But yeah, Loot Crate going out of business is not really surprising. But I mean, like, more often than not, it's the really more focused ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's anime crates that, like, they focus on certain types of anime. And there's, like, there was, like, a treat, there's, like, a candy box where, like, they would send you a box of candies from a different country each month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, well, this one's from the UK, this one's from Italy, this one's from Turkey.
I like those snack boxes.
And those are cool. And, like, that provides you something that you know you'll probably want. And at worst case, it's food. Yeah. With, like, Loot Crate, it's like, here's a letter opener that looks like a bizarre combination weapon from Dead Rising 2. Or here's a Funko Pop that's like the Bat Joker. It's a Batman Funko Pop with Joker's coloration.
Yeah, we got that one too.
Or the one that was like Loki painted up as Joker and they called it Jokey. And it's like, who the fuck's gonna wear that shirt?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a bunch of shirts from Loot Crate that I still wear, but I've got a bunch that I'll never wear.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple that were good. Like, there was a really, like, way back in the day, they had their D&D, mm-hmm. where it's just the red shirt with the big stylized ampersand,
mm-hmm.
and that's like their shorthand logo. Like, my sister had that one, and I didn't get that one, but it's a neat shirt, and like, that's a completely valid to wear out shirt. There was one that was cool that was like,
I got the Archer one.
The old school Voltron one.
Yep, we got that one too.
Like, that's really a cool ass shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were some of them where it's just like half a pirate face, half a ninja face, but it's also made out of words. Like, there were so many just bad shirts. But that's neither here nor there. And Loot Crate is going to be going out of business, probably. The article does note, though, that there was a Fallout series box that people had paid like $228 to get the entirety of.
Mm-hmm.
And once per month, they were getting pieces to the Liberty Prime robot. And if they go out of business before they ship the final box, that everybody who paid for that will not get the head to their robot.
That sucks.
It's like, oh, that's so bad. Because, like, you could fab a part if it's, like, a leg or an arm. But the head?
That's...
I mean, yeah, you have to get someone with a 3D printer to do that for you. But that sucks. Because then you're just, like, you know, the pre-prepared body within, like, this 3D printed head that looks ever so slightly off. You just slap some googly eyes on it and you're good. Another topic, as we are reaching the 45-minute mark here.
Before trim.
Before trim, yeah. And there will be a lot of trimming on this episode, that's for sure. Ums and ahs and going, come on, hop up, come on. And he doesn't. Mm-hmm. Now he's just flopped. So America loves its guns. And our country has brainworms when it comes to guns.
Mm-hmm.
And I have four associated things. So the first one is, and this is just a very amusing but also fucked up thing. So the headline reads, argument between West Virginia pastor's wives ends with gunfire in church parking lot. So when I read this initially, I misread it as like, oh, this pastor had married two different women and they found out. When actually, the less salacious version is, it was the pastor's wife and the youth pastor's wife getting into a gunfight in their church parking lot. Which, what the hell? That's not good.
Gunfight in the church parking lot.
So yes, Melinda Tony, 44, is accused of pulling out a pistol that accidentally discharged during an argument with another pastor's wife at New Life Apostolic Church in Oak Hill on May 11th. Okay, so it wasn't like a gun battle, but she pulled out her gun and it discharged, which is super illegal. If you fire off a gun and the cops are involved, you're going to get in trouble. Don't do that.
Why would you even pull a gun in a freaking argument?
So Fayetteville Sheriff Detective Ken Willis told the Beckley Register Herald that the animosity between the two women had been simmering for some time. Their husbands had thought the women should publicly bury the hatchet to avoid additional strife. The pastor and youth pastor had thought, maybe we could get them together, we can hash this out and fix this before it escalates, he said Wednesday. Of course, it just made it worse, I think. According to Willis, the straw that broke the camel's back was an argument over a t-shirt Hayward was wearing. Hayward would only say, we had a disagreement, and when we sat down to talk, I called her out and she lost it. According to authorities, Melinda walked out of the church during the disagreement and went to her car in the parking lot where she got her handgun. Realizing what she intended, Earl followed her outside. Willis reports Pastor Tony intercepted his wife before she's able to come back inside the church and attempted to wrestle the gun out of her hand. The weapon fired a single shot during the struggle, but nobody was hurt. Haywood, who was leaving the church when the gun discharged, called the police and told them that she was Tony's intended target. The department reviewed parking lot surveillance video, but could not determine whether the pistol was aimed at Haywood before it was fired. Miss Tony owned the handgun legally with a concealed carry permit. We were just trying to leave and be peaceful, Haywood told the Register Herald. The reason for the shooting was stupid and very unnecessary. Melinda declined to speak to police after her arrest and requested an attorney instead, who added that a mental evaluation on her may be part of the investigation.
Jesus, I mean, why the fuck would you go get a gun?
The husbands were like, hey, yo, our wives are, like, losing it with each other. Let's try to get them to hash it out, because this is bad. Because, I mean, obviously, if you have some sort of, like, intra-church strife like that, especially between leadership,
mm-hmm.
like, it's going to be a problem if you and the youth pastor are trying to get together to hash out whatever lesson plan you're going to do, and the wives are staring daggers, or in this case, one of them wanting to pull a gun on the other.
Jesus.
And so, you know, our country is deeply, deeply diseased when it comes to guns. We've had multiple shootings. We actually had that shooting in Odessa, where like 5 people got killed and a further like 20 injured. And it was some dude with an AR. This time the guy was in his like early 30s and not a 20-year-old. Still a white supremacist, I think. He shot people at like, I think, a Walmart again this time. He shot some other people. Some cops got shot. Like it was a real goddamn mess.
Odessa. When was this?
Like this week. Yeah, and it's and you're right, because it's like, wait a minute, there was another shooting and I didn't hear about it? What the fuck? Because, yeah, there's just so damn many. There's literally, like, one a day that qualifies the mass shooting in our country right now. Like, 4 more people getting shot, and, like, we've had more than one a day.
Kill 7, injures at least 22.
Oh, shit. So the number went up. There was, like, a 17-month-old that got shot, got hit in their arm, and, you know, so she's recovering. But it's still just like, goddamn, nuts with guns. And as a result of, like, the Walmart shooting and just the general insanity of people being like, I gotta go to Walmart and bring my assault rifle to go pick up diapers and or a 12-pack of beer, Walmart, Kroger, And Wegmans, which is a pharmacy chain, I think. Isn't Wegmans like a CVS or a Walgreens kind of thing? Do you know, Shiva?
No, not sure.
But basically, they've all said, hey, don't open carry in our stores. Really? Come on. So, Wegmans. What is Wegmans? Tell me, Google.
Those fatally shot were between 15 and 57.
So
he killed a kid. He shot a toddler. Shot cops.
Okay, Wegmans is a grocery store.
Yeah, so he got pulled over for failing to use his turn signal. He shot at the police with an AR-type weapon and sped away. He sprayed bullet randomly at residents and motorists. He hijacked a postal truck, shooting at people as he made his way into Odessa about 20 miles away. Then they killed him in a shootout in a movie theater parking lot.
It's just nuts. With this situation, we live in the modern world. Our phones are video cameras. And so there was some very, really upsetting to watch videos of, like, someone had pulled out their camera and, like, they're recording video while they're pointing it in the direction of the shots while they're, you know, cowering in a field with, like, the woman with them crying in fear, and you're just hearing, like, just gunshots going off. And they're like, this isn't some war-torn part of the world. This is Odessa, Texas, mm-hmm. where some motherfucker brought his gun and decided to just go postal. And, yeah, some real traumatic shit. And, like, Walmart, to its credit, has said, all right, look, we're going to stop carrying ammunition for handguns and semi-automatic rifles. They'll still carry hunting rounds and shotgun rounds, but those are arguably have legitimate uses for that don't involve killing humans. And they will stop carrying handguns in Alaska, which is the last place that they sold handguns in, which is really weird because, like, a handgun in Alaska is not going to do you so much good. Because, like, all right, yeah, you might shoot a wolf with a handgun. That'll probably just piss it off. And a bear with a mm-hmm. handgun, you're just going to annoy it, and then it will eat you. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
So, Walmart actually taking steps like that, Wegmans and Kroger taking steps like that. I mean, one could say, oh, well, they're doing it for the good of the community. But as the dramatic Marine Todd reading of zerodemocracy at jorts.horse put it, it's more likely being that their insurance companies are saying, you know what, having a mass shooting at your store would really affect your bottom line, so you need to stop allowing open carry at your store or we're gonna raise your insurance rates. And that's probably a good guess.
The thing is that you prevent open carry, and that just prevents people from walking in with one slung over their shoulder and then opening fire, but still, a determined shooter has got to be able to walk from their car to the store, and people might scatter, but the people inside are not going to necessarily know until he walks in the front doors and starts opening fire.
The open carry thing with specifically Walmart was because there was that dork in, I think, Ohio that walked into the store to buy groceries with his AR over his shoulder wearing a tack vest that looked a lot like what the dude in El Paso was wearing, and he was doing it as a, I'm just doing it to exercise my Second Amendment rights, and he was arrested for causing a panic,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they're trying to prevent. Like,
the stampede.
A store not having, like, the 30-7 warning on the door of a Kroger, which prohibits open carry, is not going to stop someone who's intending on mass murder. You are correct. But it is going to increase the comfort level of people in the store when they're just trying to buy some fucking peanut butter and homeboy next to them is sitting there with a giant-ass revolver.
Mm-hmm. Or AR-15 slung over his shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, I've told stories about how in Weatherford, you know, you see these dinguses walking around with a pistol on their hip, but essentially with a giant goddamn garage sale. Nobody's gonna fucking come shoot it up. You're just there to swagger around like a dickhead and make everybody else uncomfortable.
You play it off like you're going to be a hero. No, that's not what you're...
No, you will not be a hero. You'll probably kill more people, and you're just making everybody else uncomfortable. But they don't care about that. They think that making people uncomfortable makes them manly. Hi, Bo.
He's back.
He's staring at me and wanting me to pet him, so I will pet his head. So that basically exhausts the topics that I've had prepared for this week. Oh, wait, no, there is one more thing. But I do want to get a WoW Classic update from you.
Oh, God. Yeah, we've been playing.
Have you beaten Ragnaros yet?
No. I'm level 25 or so. Am I? No? Yeah, I think I'm 25. I'm not that high. Classic is slow.
Yes.
It's not, you know, you're at from zero to max level and then you're there. I mean, starting to get into the really slow levels, too.
Yeah, because, like, guess what? You're just high enough level to, like, have some of your abilities, but you're not 40 yet, so you can't, you don't have a mount. And even when you hit 40, good luck getting the amount of money you need to get one and riding. It was funny because Fuzz and I, when we go to Pizzarella for lunch, one of the dudes who works there, because there's, like, three dudes that work there, was like, oh, hey, are you back in WoW Classic? Because he knows that I used to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nah, dude, I'm clean from WoW. I'm playing Final Fantasy now. And he was like, oh, man, I'm loving it. It's so slow. I was like, I stopped playing in Warlords of Draenor, but I remember playing back in the day. And I'm like, yeah, I was playing in 2005, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was there prior to the gates of Ankaraj opening, and I made a bunch of gold that night because I was killing the big bugs at their stones in the barrens. But he's back on that train, and you know, it's like, nope, I'm in Final Fantasy. But WoW Classic, oof, I remember doing that, and just all the way the conventions have changed in the games, like instance nodes and like competition for spawns, and like, oh, that person tagged it, you can attack, you can kill it, but you ain't getting nothing. Whereas in, like, Final Fantasy, it's not quite the case.
No. I mean, and it's been funny because I've been playing since 2005, and I know what exactly I was getting into. And listening to, like, the general chat of, like, how do you do this? It's like, you don't. How do you do this? You don't. Well, you can kind of do it this way, but, yeah, that they're calling, like, the current one retail.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like rogues in retail. You know, if you sap, you stay in stealth. You don't get that in Classic. You sap somebody and you drop out of stealth. They're, you know, rock. But anyone around you, they're going to come in, you know. So if you try and sap one out of a pack, the rest of the pack's going to eat your ass.
And it's a 10-second cooldown on stealth.
Mm-hmm.
Also 10-second summons if you're a warlock.
Yeah, hunters can't drop pets while they're in traps while they're in combat.
Mm. Soul shards are a thing.
Ammo is a thing, because I'm playing Hunter.
Feeding your pets is a thing.
Having to run around the world taming other pets to learn skills is a thing.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Pet trainers are a thing, because I couldn't remember how to teach my pet growl so things would stop coming to eat me for a while.
Oh, you want that really cool ghost cat from Darkshore?
You're going to be camping that for a couple days.
Also, you have to level that thing from, like, level 8.
Mm-hmm.
See, I remember back in the day, like, up there, there was, like, a Naga area at the northern end of there that there was, like, some little statuettes you could fuck with to summon the ghost cats.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, it was a ghost snow leopard that it looked like it was in stealth all the time. And so when it did go into stealth, it was, like, extra double stealth.
Yeah, I got that one in vanilla.
Yeah, I had that one in vanilla as well, and I think I lost it when I transferred a character across the server. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Mine was on a night elf, so.
Yeah. I had my troll hunter. But I mean, I remember it back in the day. Man, when I was in 2004, wow, that was 15 years ago, and I had a lot less concerns. And I could devote huge amounts of time to leveling a character,
mm-hmm,
and the slow, methodical thing. Whereas nowadays, I still have plenty of time. I can play late at night, but I've been there. I've done that. I got the t-shirt.
I'm enjoying the nostalgia and the remembrance, and I'm actually enjoying it.
Oh, there's no knocking it. I mean, like, it's not for me. Like, I'm not going to re-up my WoW sub to launch a character in vanilla. Though I did think the fact that people queuing up for spawns was really cute, mm-hmm, and also a very good pro-social thing that people have started to get the idea about, like, oh, let's just wait our turn. That's happened in Final Fantasy, this happened in WoW, where it's like, oh, we gotta kill that named orc dickhead at the back of Valley of Trials, gotta wait our turn.
Yeah, so there was just a whole line of people and people would make sure that they had 5 people in the group when they went, just so to make sure to max out the amount of people that could get the kill and move on to the next group. And in the long line that I waited in, there was only one person that ran up and didn't wait his turn for like the hour or so it took me to get through the line, because it's a 5-minute respawn.
Oh, well, I mean, it's good that people were generally behaving. Mm-hmm. I bet that's another thing that people are like, oh, wait, I can't queue for a dungeon. I can't LFG.
That and the summoning stones don't work.
Oh, no.
The whole party
They're just meeting stones.
Yeah, they're just meeting stones. They're not summoning stones. You just run there. It's just to mark that, hey, there's a dungeon here.
Yep. Oh, see, the other thing, so this is something I found out today. So in Final Fantasy XIV, you can queue for dungeons anywhere, but you can also queue to go into a dungeon unsynced, so generally when you do a dungeon in Final Fantasy XIV, it syncs you, when you're doing the party finder, it syncs you to that level with a maximum item level. So, like, if you're doing a dungeon that's, like, under level 50, your item level will be, like, sub-item level 50, and your abilities will be trimmed down to what you would have at that level.
So, usually, you're just going into, like, now, do they have transmog?
They have transmog. They have the daily roulette where you get bonus XP, because that's how they get players to help characters who are doing low-level dungeons. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, oh, I'm doing Satasha today, because this baby tank needs someone to come with him. So now there's three other people, which are, like, vastly higher level that know what the hell they're doing. But they've been synced down. Mm-hmm. But you can also queue unsynced. So Tesser and I today, for a little bit, were just punching the fuck out of Shiva, the primal Shiva.
Yeah, not this one.
And you could just do it over and over and over and over again, because they're trying to farm the weapons. They have cool weapons. And then every 5 times you kill her, you can upgrade one of those weapons to be the shinier, more purpley version of it. Mm-hmm. And our kills were taking 90 seconds.
So were you just helping Lobies get their Shiva kill?
No, it was just Tesser and I, we'd get out, be like, oh, yay, we got the horse, or no, we didn't get the horse, and, oh, we didn't get the weapon we wanted. So we go out, immediately re-queue, it immediately pop, go back in, sup, punch, 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 punch. Did you drop the chest thing I wanted? Nope. Go outside, re-queue. So we were just cycling and just pummeling this poor primal for an hour or so today, just getting weapons, and because they're like the really glowy purple ice weapons, like you pull them out and then they just get coated with ice. It's a really neat visual effect. But like, you can just queue for lower level dungeons, because I'm level 70, he has characters at a level 80 now, because he has like, he mainlined stuff, plus he had the road to 70 bonus that I did not have. So he's able to level things super quick.
What's the road to 70 bonus?
Prior to the launch of Shadowbringers, they had a bonus where, like, if you made a new character in the game on a preferred server, you got a bonus called Road to 70, which meant that your characters, had a permanent 200% XP bonus for everything until you hit level 70, because their intention was to get you up to date so you could play the Shadowbringers content.
That makes sense.
But what that really meant is that Tesser was level 80 by the time he finished out Heavensward. So he leveled multiple character classes up to 80. Whereas I don't have that benefit, so I just get standard XP. So it's a little bit slower. A lot of it slower. Because, like, sometimes if he would get, like, 400% XP off a boss, and that's like, oh, I just got 1.2 million XP for killing this boss at the end of the dungeon, in addition to the completion bonus. So he, like, levels up twice while I'm just like, come on.
Yep.
But we were just helping each other clear out our dungeon, like, because you get these random dungeon quests, and you're like, man, I don't want to fucking do this. And they're like, level 60 or level 50 dungeons, and, oh, wait, we can just go right to them and then smack them around. It literally cleared off, like, 7 or 8 quests in my quest log that I just had been sitting for a long time. It's like, oh, the Ultima's Bane, like this that used to be this high-end quest that no one ever touched because, ooh, it's so big and scary. It's like, wait, I can go in, smack the tar out of this guy, completely ignore the mechanics, and get credit?
Okay.
I'm not doing this for XP.
Now, next time we go on hiatus from WoW because we beat whatever raid we're currently on, I'll think about resubbing to FF just so I can do, like, the storyline.
Storyline in Heavensward's really good. Stormblood's kind of eh because it's split. between two locales, mm-hmm. and you have a lot of back and forth, but Shadowbringer is solid as a rock. The scenario writer, she had previously done the Dark Knight quest line and mm-hmm. some other side writing, but she was elevated to lead writer for the expansion, and she has knocked it out of the park.
Good.
And like, she was at PAX West and got like this massive standing ovation because they had a panel and she was there at PAX. And like, when they brought her on stage, everyone was like just clapping for her and super excited. So she got super emotional. It was nice.
You like what I did?
Like, holy shit, you enjoyed what I was doing and telling this, this story about a world like literally on the cusp of dying and you trying valiantly to stop it. But I finally made it to that content and have promptly not done any of it beyond I've gotten to the new city, synced myself to all the points, and then I was like, all right, well, I got some business back on my original homeworld, so chill. You've been on the brink of destruction for the past 200 years. You ain't gonna die for another day. See ya. The world needs your help. Yeah, I gotta go pick some flowers. So I did have one more topic that we hadn't touched on that I kind of should have talked on earlier in the day, because we're like, hey, talking about fun gaming stuff. But this was sort of a duh moment. It was the very first thing I put in the topics for the week. Conversion therapy group founder comes out as gay, apologizes. Yeah. Which, duh. In this particular case, this guy was a founder of, let's see, which one was it?
I know it says somewhere in there.
So the founder, named McCray Game, who founded and led Hope for Wholeness.
That's a hell of a name.
McCray Game. That is a very wine mom name. Led Hope for Wholeness in South Carolina publicly announced he was gay in early June, more than 2 years after the organization's board of directors abruptly fired him. In a Facebook post last week, Game 51 said he was wrong, adding, "Please forgive me. I certainly regret where I caused harm," he wrote, promoting the tragic model that blamed parents and conversion or prayer therapy that made many people believe that their orientation was wrong, bad, sinful, evil, or worse, that they could change was absolutely harmful. It's all in my past, but many, many, way too many continue believing that there is something wrong with themselves and wrong with people that choose to live their lives honestly and openly as gay, lesbian, trans, etc., he added. Learn to love yourself and others. In an interview with the Post and Courier published Saturday, Game called conversion therapy a lie and false advertising, and called for the dissolution of conversion therapy practices or ex-gay ministries. Game is one of several former gay conversion therapy leaders who have since cut ties with the movement and have come out as LGBTQ. Almost 700,000 LGBT-identifying adults have gone through some form of conversion therapy as of 2018, according to UCLA's Williams Institute, the Post and Courier notes. 18 states and at least 50 cities and counties across the country have laws or regulations protecting youth from this harmful practice, the Human Rights Campaign says. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, a fucking course. The leaders of Exodus International also came out as gay after a while, you know, and the shitty thing that, yeah, okay, cool. It's great that you come out now and say that a lot and say that it's all a lie and it's a piece of shit and you're sorry. That doesn't absolve you of the pile of queer bodies that you're responsible for. You're still a massive piece of shit that caused people to die. I mean, it's good that there is a public denunciation mm-hmm. of the practice by the former founder, but the fact that they have not dissolved themselves in shame just shows the depth of their evil and that there are kids that are just shipped off to these de-gayification camps. You know, it's like,
you know, it works so well and doesn't cause...
No, it just makes them people closet themselves and lie and kill themselves. I mean, it's good, again, that the leaders come out and denounce this shit, but it's like, he could have done this. I mean, this dude's in his 50s. How long has he been, like, harming people in the name of God, right? How long? 20 years, he says on his Facebook page. I was wrong. Please forgive me.
Forgiveness will come by helping undo.
Like, you have a shitload of work that you need to do, my dude, before anyone could ever conceive of forgiving you. Like, you've made the first step, and I hope that they continue to try to undo the damage they've done, but, whew, 20 years. Goodness. But yeah, I mean, this kind of thing happens way too often. They're like, these people that are trying to suppress them being gay have like externalized it to the point where not only can they not be gay, other people can't be gay either. And you have to force them to be straight. It's incredibly harmful and a massive lie that you're going to fix yourself through prayer or fasting. No, you just learned to lie in denial. You know, it happens a lot, and it's not surprising when this happens many years down the road, but also sometimes they, you know, these leaders that have done all this damage also kill themselves and out of guilt. Where it's like, the best thing is to say, actually, I'm cool with who I am, and you are wrong, and I will live my own truth. But that's also really hard, and not everybody can do that. Like, that's obviously not always an option, but woof. This guy has done so much damage.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, it's not so much as living its own truth. It's now it comes time to undo the damage. I mean, you put so much of your life teaching people to repress who they are. Now it comes time to basically dedicate your life to undoing that and fixing what you can, advocate what, be, that'd be just as loud in the other direction to make up for. So I think a public mea culpa instead of just quietly going away is a good first step.
Yeah. So, like, I hope they keep up with it and try to continue to make reparations as they can. Because, I mean, publicly talking about it is the first step. And saying, hey, this is all bullshit is helpful. Much like, you know, anti-gay groups admitting they made up the trans bathroom panic as a wedge. I mean, they admitted it, but hasn't stopped people from continuing to use it. But, like, they admit it's bullshit. You know, these conversion therapy goobers are like, it's all fake. You know, that helps. It doesn't stop it, but it does provide additional, like, ammunition for people being like, actually, don't support this, okay? Turns out a lot of these leaders come out as gay and then marry themselves and or just find other gay people to be around. Like, that was the thing with Exodus International. I think the leaders eventually said, yeah, this is bullshit, and got married. And that was back in, like, the early 2000s.
I mean, these camps have been, I mean, they're outlawed in many states, aren't they?
Conversion therapy it's outlawed in several states and also in certain cities, in states that don't necessarily have it.
I mean, that just prevents it from happening there, not parents shipping their kids off to another state to have it done.
Michael Busey and Gary Cooper. Michael Busey, one of the founders of Exodus, and Gary Cooper, a leader within the Ministry of Exodus, left the group to be in a relationship with each other in 1979. Wow, that was a long time ago. Shoot, they had a commitment ceremony in fucking 1982. That's before I was born.
I mean, there's how many different self-hating gays have come forward out of these various groups of, you know, blah, 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 and oh, wait, I'm gay. Or how many senators have been caught sucking cock in a bath?
Oh, yeah. In 2012, then-President Alan Chambers renounced conversion therapy, said it didn't work and was harmful. The following year, the organization dissolved and apologize for the pain and hurt participants in their program had experienced. Several other prominent forum members, including John Polk, have made similar apologies. While Exodus International no longer operates, many member ministries continue to do so. But it's like, inevitably, at the end of these things, the people that have said, hey, like, I am a leader, and they're like, actually, no, a load of bullshit, sorry. And hey, guess what? In 2019, there's yet another dude saying, yeah, this is bullshit, sorry. So, it's bullshit, and we're not sorry for saying that. All right, so we're just past the hour 15 mark before edits. Do you have any further topics you want to hit this week, Shiva?
Not especially. We've hit most of them.
All right, well, we are going to wrap it up this week. We've got an email that we're going to save till next time because Fudge should be here for that because it reflects on a conversation we had last week, and he is sick at home with a cold. It's the curse of the pyramid. Oh, okay. They stayed at the pyramid in Memphis on Sunday night, and well, the curse of the crystal skull got him. That's it.
What is the pyramid?
The pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee? The Bass Pro Shops pyramid?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, okay. I'll show you pictures in a bit.
Oh, God.
Anyways, so as always, you can find the show on Twitter at SouthPawsCast. You can find us on Patreon.com at SouthPawsCast. Just look us up. Every little bit helps. $1 a month, $1 per episode, whatever. You can set your maximum. And Fuzz and I, and occasionally Shiva, well, we haven't had a chance to do it yet, but Shiva can totally be on, like, Fox and Checkat movie time, or just Southpaw Cat movie time. So we all have to get together and coordinate our schedules to do so. and we're all very busy people.
We were going to do so last weekend, and I forget. I'm feeling really out of it.
Yeah, you were feeling really tired, and that's fine. That happens.
Oh, that was the night I didn't... Yeah, we were going to do some movie night last week, and then I allegedly slept Friday to Saturday, because I was at least unconscious for it, but I woke up feeling drunk tired. I went back to bed for a couple hours. I woke up feeling even still drunk tired, and I was drunk tired all day until like 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock, or when I started to feel like I had had a lot of caffeine, and I was to the point of feeling kind of nauseous from caffeine, and I still felt drunk tired. I felt like I had taken like a melatonin and was not able to shake it off, and I had not taken it, but that's what it felt like. And it was awful. Luckily, I slept Saturday to Sunday, and it was awesome, and I actually felt like I had gotten to sleep. But that Saturday, all day, I felt like I was trying to keep myself up, like I said, after having had melatonin. And it was just not working. I felt awful.
So hopefully we'll be able to get together and record some additional bonus content for the Patreon here soon, but...
When Fuzz isn't dying.
When Fuzz isn't dying and our schedules align, because we're all old people.
And I'm not suddenly drug tired for no reason.
You can email us southpawscast@gmail.com. Send us your comments, concerns, angry rants. We reserve the right to...
Hell, send us neat articles.
Yes, you can always send things our way. We also have a well-managed Telegram group that I can include the link to join in the show notes. We manage it very carefully, so it is not just some centrist bullshit. Matches how we talk on the show. You can then also find me on Twitter @SavrinDrake. You can find me on Twitch @Savrin and Savrin @snouts.online on Mastodon. And you're not on Twitter anymore. You freed yourself. Yay!
I didn't join Mastodon either.
No, free yourself. Social media, it's generally bad. Mastodon is just less bad.
Mostly on Facebook, just to...
keep up with appearances.
Well, that and like family.
Yeah.
And the old cat has a lot.
Hi, old kitty. You finally decided to wander in here.
He's only 20 years old. And
you decrepit old thing. Meow.
He's very broken.
So that's gonna wrap it up for this week, guys. So on that note, good night.